prayer, and he says this. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is."
Sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request.
He talks to us about when he says, this is how you pray. First thing he says is this. He says, don't neglect prayer, waiting for the right time, waiting for the right words, or waiting for the right issue. You see that both in Luke when the disciples come to him and they say, Jesus, John's disciples were taught to pray by him. Would you teach us how to pray? And so he gives them this model prayer. And then over in Sermon on the Mount here, Matthew chapter 6, I want you to notice what he says. He says to us, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. There is an assumption here that we are going to spend some time with God. In fact, that's what we were created for. The chief end and purpose of mankind is to enjoy God and to know Him, walk with Him forever, one of the old confessions of faith said. And so, all too often, we overlook this most important part of our spiritual life. We do it for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes we do it because we don't think we have the right words. We think that we have to come up with some wonderful, eloquent, impactful, profound statement to God, and we don't. I mean, that beautiful prayer. I mean, I always thought when we finished the video with that one guy praying, I'm like, you know, we could almost just quit and go home, couldn't we? I mean, it was a prayer. It was his connection. It was his heart with God, and he was just showing us this is how we pray. And so God's not expecting that you're going to have all the right words. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, the scripture says to us that there are times when we don't know the right thing to say. There's times when we don't have the right words to pray. And in that passage of scripture, if you go and look at it, what Paul writes to us is, he says, listen, the Holy Spirit, one who lives within you, will sometimes pray for you the words that you don't even have for yourself. And that's an incredible promise from the scripture that says to us, listen, don't get tied up. God's not up there with some big checklist going, oh, I didn't say that quite right. He's looking at your heart. He's concerned with what's going on the inside. And he knows what is important, and he knows what you're trying to express to him. And so don't wait to pray until you have the right words. Don't wait for the right time. Every time is the right time. Just go back and read the Gospels. And in fact, that's what I'm going to be doing this week while I'm away this first week. I'm going to be reading through the Gospel of John over and over and over again. Because when we come back at Easter, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to be talking about not how to pray like Jesus, but how to love like Jesus. We're going to look at the way that Jesus loved people in the Gospel of John. And one of the things that you see when you read through the gospel is that Jesus is praying all the time. He does it for a meal like we do it. He does it when he's out in front of people and leading a worship time. And he does it when he's blessing the bread. He does it when he's walking down the road with the disciples. He does it all over the place. He doesn't wait for, quote, the right time to pray. It's just an overflow of his relationship with God. It's a part of what is going on in the fabric of his life. So we don't wait for the right time to pray. And we don't pray because sometimes we don't think we have the right issue. We think, you know, I'm not going to bother God with this minor, mundane, everyday details of life. Listen, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to us and he says, your Father in heaven is concerned about every single hair on your head. He has them numbered. Not a single sparrow, he says, falls from the sky, but that he knows them, counts them, and is paying attention to them. He's concerned with, is there anything in your children's life, parents, that is too small for you to be concerned about when it's a big thing to them? And that's exactly how our Heavenly Father is. He cares for us. And so what he's saying to us when Jesus begins to talk to us and he says, and when you pray, I think part of what he's expressing to us is prayer is to be a part of the everyday fabric of life. It just needs to be an overflow of our relationship with God as we're walking with him, talking with him in an everyday kind of way. And so we don't wait for the right words. We don't wait for the right time. We don't wait for the right issue. Another thing that we shouldn't be doing, and he's very, very clear here in Matthew chapter 6, is we don't pray to people. Well, let's say it this way. We shouldn't pray to people when we pray to God. Take a look at what he says. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Now, the hypocrite is we've turned it into a very, very bad word, and in some ways it carries that kind of connotation, but it literally means someone who is acting a part. You ever walk into a theater or you ever be a part of a drama troupe or seen something that takes place there where there's the two different masks, the smiley face and the frowny face? It comes from the Greek theater. In the Greek theater, people wore the masks. And what they had was they had this mask which was smiling and this mask which was frowning. And so what Jesus is saying to us is, listen, don't wear a mask when you talk with God. Don't act a part when you're talking with God. When you pray, don't act like something that you aren't. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to act the part. They love to stand in the synagogues or in the places of worship and on the street corners because they want to be seen by men. So Jesus is saying, listen, your prayer is really about a heart relationship, a heart connection with God. You don't pray to be seen by others. It's not some big production that we are in the process of putting on. We pray sometimes to be heard by people rather than to be heard by God. And when we do that, we're doing the wrong thing. And I'll tell you, I am as guilty of this as anybody else can be, but pastors sometimes are the worst. You ever get to the end of a sermon? The pastor says, let's bow our heads and pray. And then when he bows his head and he starts praying, he preaches that doggone sermon all over again. I mean, the whole thing, start to finish. And he says he's talking to God. He's not talking to God. He's preaching that sermon again. It's not truly a prayer. So any of us can do that. It's easy to fall into a pattern when we're not paying attention of doing the wrong thing. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, when you pray, keep in mind you're not talking to people. That should take some pressure off of you because you don't have to get it right for them to hear. They might overhear it because you're praying publicly, but you're really talking to God. It's not about the people that are around you. It's about talking with him. And then sometimes we pray to impress others with our spirituality. It's that Luke chapter 18 passage where Jesus, we looked at it last week, so we won't turn there, where Jesus said, you know what? Two men went up to the temple to pray one day. The tax collector, the sinner, and the Pharisee, the religious giant. And the religious giant stood up and he looked around to make sure he was being seen. And he prayed, oh God, I thank you so much that I'm not like the guy over in the corner. He's not talking truly to God. He's using what is supposed to be a prayer, an opportunity to connect at the heart level with God, to put some other guy down, to make himself look good by stepping on the shoulders of the life of someone else. That's not prayer. That's not truly connecting with God. That's why Jesus takes the opportunity here when he says, listen, I'm going to teach you guys how to pray, but before we start going through this, I want to put some things out there that you need to pay attention to. I want to make sure that you understand there's some stuff here that you shouldn't be doing when you pray. Because prayer at its very core is your heart-to-heart communication with God. And when we step outside of that and we make it something else, then when we're praying to people and not to God, then we're truly perverting what prayer is supposed to be, because it's really supposed to be just that connection with Him. So don't neglect to pray, waiting for the right time or the right place or the right words. Don't pray to people rather than praying to God. And don't pray prayers that are just simply empty repetition. Notice what he says here. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Now look at verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, or like people who don't truly know God, the word means. It's not necessarily a bad connotation. It just means people without God. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Now, I think there's a couple of different ways that you can understand this prayer. So I want to talk about those individually, and then I'm going to come back and circle around and talk about one of them again in a positive way. First thing I think that he probably literally is talking about here is, and I can never say this word right, so I'm going to try and get it. Onomatopoetic. Yay, I think I got it right that time. When you speak onomatopoetically, what you're doing is you're using a word that describes and sounds like what you are describing. So let me give you an example. For example, babble. So babble is babble, 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 babble. So if you have that going on in the background, then onomatopoetically what it means is the word sounds like what it is doing. It describes, sounds like what it describes. Same thing with a murmur. You know, you're in a room and there's this sound going on in the background and it's murmur, 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 murmur. So what Jesus is saying is, listen, that's not the way that you pray. That's not what you're doing. Now, we're not that familiar with that because of our culture, but I'll tell you this, as I've gone into other cultures around the world, I still remember the day I walked into China. Into one of the rooms, and we were visiting one of the temples, and we were visiting one of the historic temples in Beijing at the time. And I saw for the first time in my life, it's very common around the world, but I had never seen it because of my culture. When I walked in, and there was a lady on her knees praying to a wooden statue that way. It was just almost a mindless repetition of a particular word or a phrase or something like that. And so Jesus is saying, listen, if you, in fact, are talking to God, there should be some heart and mind engaged in that, not just empty, meaningless words, okay? So he's probably talking about that kind of thing in his culture, because that is very common all around the world. You look at different kinds of religions, you will see that quite commonly. But let me tell you how that shows up for you and I more often than not. What shows up for you and I more often than not is when we start praying a prayer and we repeat a prayer without it truly having any connection to our heart or to our mind. Some people do that with the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't mean anything to them. They just rattle the words off. Some of us do it. I did it this past week. I'm reading my sermon. I'm doing my research and my preparation. I meet my wife for lunch. I reach out and take her hand at the restaurant where we're at. And I prayed the same prayer that I've probably prayed 1,000 times. And it never once connected with my mind and heart. I was just saying empty words. Right? We all do it. It's so easy to fall into that pattern. And so what Jesus, I think, is saying to us is, listen, truly prayer is about that heart connection with God. And we look at other religions and we go, oh, they're just saying empty words. It doesn't mean anything. Sometimes we pray exactly the same thing. We know the words, but it doesn't truly connect with our mind. It doesn't truly connect with our heart. And so when Jesus is talking to us about prayer, what he's saying is, listen, don't make it empty, meaningless repetition. Now, there's not to say that memorizing a prayer and praying a memorized prayer is wrong. I am not saying that. I've used them over and over and over many times myself. In fact, there is a particular kind of prayer. It comes by many different kinds of titles and many different kinds of explanations. Sometimes it's called an Abba prayer in different faith traditions, where you, in fact, create a prayer that is, in fact, meaningful to you, and you use it to help you in your relationship with God. where it particularly is helpful for most of us is when we have something in our life that is overwhelming to us. It's an overwhelming area of concern, or an overwhelming area of anxiety, or an overwhelming area of worry. And it consumes us. It possesses us. You ever had anything like that? For example, you get a phone call, and your husband or your wife or your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law, or your good friend says, "Listen, I just got back from the doctor, and they said it's cancer." Well, that owns your mind and your heart, doesn't it? I mean, it's overwhelming. It's all sometimes you can think of. Every time you go somewhere, every time you bow your head to pray, that overwhelming concern seems to just be right there in your face. And you can't, it's a block, and you can't seem to get beyond that. Let me give you a thing that I think will help. This concept of simple prayer, it's called sometimes, or Abba prayer sometimes, is where you intentionally and specifically create your own prayer. I'm going to share with you mine. It's the one that you see up there at the top. It's one that I created about 15 years ago when one of my daughters was going through an incredibly difficult emotional time. And I'm not saying anything that she hasn't said publicly from the platform, where she was suicidal. And I'm trying to process that in my mind and heart. I'm trying to carry on in my life, in my ministry, where there's this massive thing that is just consuming me and owning me, and I don't know how to get beyond it. And so I sat down and I was reading a book on prayer, and it's actually out in the bookstore if you want to get it. It's by Richard Foster. It's called Prayer. It's just a simple title. Great book. And I'm reading this book, and it talks about creating one of these prayers. And so I created one for myself. Lord Jesus, help me trust your goodness. Let me give you the guidelines, and then I'll kind of analyze it for you. You can see what I'm talking about. You create a personal prayer that's designed to target the issue specifically. Okay, it's personal. It's one that you and Jesus create. You and God make it. And it's targeted right at that. You keep it very, very short. Very, very succinct. 5 to 7 words, no more than 10. You get longer than that, it just gets to be too much. You make sure every single word is meaningful. And you memorize it. You commit it to mind and heart. Then you use it to replace your worry with God's peace. So my prayer, let me explain the words to you. Lord, it reminds me of who I'm talking to. It's the God of the universe who spoke and everything we see came into existence. See, that grounds me. It lets me know where I'm at. Lets me know the playing field that I've got. Jesus, we do not have a high priest who doesn't understand us, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He understands me. He was fully God and fully human. 100% both, without mixture, confusion, or error. Lord Jesus, God and man. He's God, big enough to solve it, and man, close enough to understand it. Help me. I can't do this. I can't do this without your help. God, you need to be here with me in the middle of this. Help me trust. Because that's where I'm struggling. The doubt, the worry, the fear, the concern is overwhelming me. It's bigger than I am. I've got to trust you. And not just trust you, but trust your goodness. Because you see, this prayer came to me when I was reading that passage of Scripture in Romans when it says, God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And I'm talking with him and I'm saying, God, you explain to me where in the world we can find one single good thing that can come from a 15-year-old who wants to take her own life. I don't get it. Now, your word tells me that is true. But you're going to have to help me believe that. You're going to have to help me trust that. So that's a prayer that the disciples prayed. Lord, we believe, but you've got to help our unbelief. And that prayer sustained me for 3 years, walking through that. God was gracious enough to answer that and gracious enough to help me at the end of the day to see some good things that could, in fact, come out of that. But every single word of that prayer means something. So whenever I was praying that, it came together, and that was the content of my heart. Lord Jesus, help me trust your goodness. In the middle of this thing that is so much bigger than I am, so much more powerful than I am, so out of my control, so hard for me to understand and see and process. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't want it. But I need you to help me trust your goodness. Does that make sense? See, now, I prayed that over and over and over again, but that wasn't an empty, meaningless repetition. Sometimes Jesus actually even did that. You see that over in Matthew chapter 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was facing this amazing, incredible experience in his life of the cross. Remember, he took the disciples over to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, hey guys, my soul is burdened almost unto death. Come with me and pray. I need you. And so they go aside to pray and he leaves them back and then he goes by himself to pray and three times he comes and he goes and he talks with them. It says he prays so intensely that his sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And if you look in Matthew chapter 26, what you'll discover is there's a place where he says over, let me give you the verse because I know some of you will want to go home and take a look at it. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 44, it says three times he went back and he prayed the same words. Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Three times he prayed the same words. Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. See, there's a difference between praying that same prayer over and over and over again because you're trying to get it, because you're trying to anchor your soul in God. There's a difference between praying that because you're praying in faith, you're praying in trust, you're praying to ask God to help you rather than just empty, mindless words that don't mean anything. Just saying it over and over and over, like sometimes I do whenever I reach across the table with my wife and I grab her hand and I say, God, thank you for today. Thank you for our food. Please be with my daughters and give them a great day today. Amen. How many times have I prayed that, sweetheart? 1,000? 2,000? 5,000? And there's a piece of me that means it. But there's a piece of me that just is going through the motions. And so that's what Jesus is talking to us when he says, listen, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. Don't just say empty, meaningless words. Because they think that they're going to be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. Because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So tell him, just pour out your heart. And pray. And he goes on to tell us how we should do that. Next thing I would say to you is this. Don't stop praying too early. How long should you pray any particular prayer? I don't know. Until God answers it. Luke 18, verse 1, when Jesus is talking about, you know, that story that we looked at a couple of weeks ago of the persistent widow who continues to go back and back and back and back. And it's the same passage of Scripture, a different passage of Scripture where he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, don't stop. How long do you go? You go until circumstances change and everything times out and it's no longer relevant. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you don't get an answer before, you know, time's up, you know, finished. Overcome by events. But don't stop before you get there. Sometimes God says yes. It's okay to stop then. You should say thank you. But sometimes it's stopped and then sometimes he says no. But if he hasn't said yes or no, or you haven't timed out, and it's important, keep on praying this week. I can't tell you what it is because it's a surprise. But this week, someone came into my office, and they sat down and they talked with me, and we spent a few moments together, and they shared with me the answer to a 30-year prayer. And it wasn't, they were the recipient of someone praying for them for 30 years. 30 years. Now, some of you parents know what I'm talking about, right? You've been praying that prayer for those kids for a long, long time. Husbands praying for their wives, wives praying for their husbands, families praying for their brothers, their sisters. You just stay with it. You don't give up. You don't stop. You don't quit. You just stay in that thing until God says stop. Most of us, and I include myself in this. Listen, I'm not anything different. You know, we're good. We're intense. We're on it for about a hot minute. And then we're done. Right? We move on. And sometimes we just have to stick with that thing. And pray it through. Different conversation. I can't share that one. Different conversation. But I'll share that at a different time. What God is saying to us here is don't stop praying too early. That's what Luke 18 is all about. It's about, you know, continuing to pray, continuing to go back to God, continuing to share what is going on. And then the next thing I want to say is don't pray arrogantly. Don't pray arrogantly. There's this strand of Christianity that's out there right now where they take a biblical truth of God loving and providing for his children and the biblical truth of God providing all the things that we need. And they take it to such an extreme that it becomes unbiblical. You can do that with the scripture very, very easily. You can get unbalanced. You can take it too far. And you can hear this when you hear some different people pray. Here's what you look for. You look for that tone of arrogance and that tone of obligation and that tone of entitlement. God, you said, and I'm going to claim it, and you have to give it to me. No, he doesn't. He's God, you're not. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying in faith, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. We talked about that last week. We do that. We pray. We claim. We say, God, you said it. I'm going to depend on you. But it's all about tone. It's all about heart. He doesn't have to give us anything. We can't demand from God. We ask. We can pray his word back to him. We can pray in faith. But we don't need to be praying arrogantly, acting as if we know what his will is. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like that sinner over there. The Pharisee said. And I don't know quite where that line is, okay? The difference in the line between praying in faith, claiming, appropriating what God says he wants to give us. I mean, it's not there yet, and we're asking for it, and we're standing on it, and we're depending on it, and we're trusting him. That line between confidence and arrogance, whew, that's a hard one to walk, isn't it? To say, God, I know that this is what you said, and I think it's for me, but I'm just trusting. It's that your kingdom come, your will be done part. I wish I could give you a better answer than that. But there's a line in there somewhere between confidence and arrogance. There's a line in there between faith and trust and entitlement that we cross if we aren't careful. You and Jesus got to work that one out. I can't give you the answer to that, but I know it's there. What's that old line from the Chief Justice? We know it when we see it. I know it when I hear it. When that entitlement comes out, I hear it. When that arrogance comes out, I hear it. And I go, well, you can't talk to God that way. Our God, I'd strike you with a lightning bolt. Which is why I'm not God. He's like, Dennis, you can't do that. I said, but they deserve it. No, you deserve it too. I haven't killed you yet. Have you had that conversation with him? I have that conversation with him all the time. He's like, oh, gracious. I'm gracious to you. You be gracious to others as well. And then finally, here's where we want to finish up this morning. Don't be dishonest with God when you pray. If there's any other way, Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. I wish, you know, what you don't see, I'm so glad that we see this. Maybe that's one of the reasons he took his disciples with him so they could see it before they fell asleep and recount it to us. You don't see him on his knees going, you know, God, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to lay my life down for the sins of the world. Looking forward to what's coming up the next few days. No, that wouldn't be real. God, if there's any other way, would you let this cup pass? That's an honest prayer from the heart, isn't it? That's real. That's how we talk with God. Go back and look at the Old Testament saints. Man, that's why that passage in Corinthians says all these things that happened to them were examples for us. So we can look at them and go, boy, look what they teach us. Moses was honest with God. God says, listen, Moses, pack your bags. I'm going to send you to go talk to Pharaoh. Moses is like, I can't do that. Now, he ended up going. But he started off going, no, I can't do that. Jacob was honest with God. I won't let you go until you bless me. And wrestled with him all night long. That's honest. Gideon is one of my favorites. I went back and read it again this morning to make sure I got the story right. I learned something new today. The story of Gideon, you probably already knew this. The story of Gideon, there were 15,000 Midianites who came in to invade the land. And Gideon started off with an army of 30,000. It was 2-1. No wonder he wasn't looking forward to sending any of them away. He's like, we got this. 2-1. And so God says, get rid of some of them. And a bunch of them left. Now it's down to 15,000 to 10,000. Ooh, it's not so good. And God looks at it and goes, Gideon, we're not done yet. He takes them from a ratio of 2-1 to 300 men to 15,000. 2%. And then there's this beautiful passage. I love this. With everything in my soul, I love this passage. God and Gideon are having this conversation. They're down to 300 now. And Gideon's looking around going, this is not looking good, God. God's like, look, don't worry about this, Gideon. I got this. It's okay. He said, this is what's going to happen. He tells him, he says, you're going to win. This is going to happen. All this stuff is going to go on. Then he looks at him and he says to him, he says, now, Gideon, this is a prayer conversation, right? He says, now, Gideon, if you're afraid, after hearing me tell you what's going to happen, then go down to the camp and listen in on what's going on and it'll help you. And then right in the middle of that exact same verse, you know what it says? And Gideon got up and went down to the camp to look. I love that. Gideon, if you're afraid, okay, I'm on my way. Because guess what? Terrified. It's real. He didn't pull punches with God. Go back and look at the Psalms, many of which are David's prayers. How long, O Lord, will you allow the wicked to prosper? I don't get it. And then he says, this is one of my favorites. He says, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to break out all their teeth just like they've been chewing on gravel. Well, thanks, David, for the godly heart. What is up with that? Where did that come from? What is he doing? He's praying a real prayer. He's just being honest with God. We all go through that process at times. And you see that in Jesus' life. Is there any other way? Listen, here's the key. Here's what I want you to see. Every single one of them, they were just honest with God. They were just sharing with God what was true. Like he doesn't know already that we're struggling or afraid or angry or upset. Of course he knows. So just pray. Share your heart. Let him know what's on the inside. He's already there. He already sees. He already knows. Place it in his hands and trust him to help you work through it to the other side. So I realized this morning as I was thinking, you know, how do we want to close out this sermon, this series and this sermon, that I've dumped a lot of information on you. And so let me suggest to you, how do you respond to a sermon like this? Do you write down these six different things or seven different things and go, boy, I want to make sure that I do this checklist every week? Now, here's what you do. Here's what I do when I hear one of these. Here's how I respond to this one. There's a place in here where God just spoke so clearly to me when I was preparing, and it was that piece about praying with my wife whenever I'm out at a meal. And I realized that I had allowed that to become just empty, vain repetition. And so I walked away with one piece from this sermon, which says, you know what, Dennis? From now on, focus on that until you get it right. You know, that find that one piece where there's some spiritual energy, that one piece where God says, yeah, there's one here for you right here, buddy. You need to take a look at this one. When you hear his voice, when you sense that, when you know that one is where he wants you to work, you don't have to try and get all six of them, seven of them right this week. Just the one where he's working with you. So how are you going to pray this week? Make sure that you're not neglecting it. Make sure that you're talking to God and not to people. Make sure that your head and your heart are connected in your prayers. Make sure that you don't give up too soon. Make sure that you're not being arrogant when you pray, that you're not telling God rather than asking God. And make sure that you're being honest with God. You find one or two of those where the Spirit says, there's something you need to focus on. And take that to heart this week and allow God to do in you what he wants to do. Would you bow with me as I pray? Father, we thank you for today, and truly we do, because we are here in your presence with your people, and we can in freedom bow our heads, close our eyes, and lift our voices to you and know that you hear us from heaven. Lord, I know that in a room like this that there are a number of people that your Spirit spoke to, where your small, still, quiet voice whispered in their ear, this one is for you. There's an area that you need to focus. There's a thing that you need to work on. God, help them not to feel bad, to feel guilty, feel overwhelmed by that, but to sense your Spirit encouraging them, moving them in the right direction. And Lord, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there's some here this morning who have one of those overwhelming areas of concern or anxiety or worry, and they need to go home and create that prayer. They heard your voice when it went by. They knew that you were saying, this piece is for you today. God, help them not to neglect that. Help them not to go home and be overwhelmed with whatever else is on the agenda today. But to do what Jesus said, to find a quiet place, to go into their room, to close the door, and pray to their Father in secret. Because you'll hear them, and you will answer from heaven. God, whatever you want to do in our hearts individually this morning, in the life of our church, you do. Take advantage of this opportunity, in this next few moments, to speak to our hearts, to help us take the next step forward spiritually, whatever that might be for us. We ask in Jesus' name.